I think that may have been worth our gathering this evening, confessing those truths together. And it sure takes the pressure off me, knowing that we had such a wonderful time singing that hymn together. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is where we are in our Sunday evenings. For some weeks, we've been going through this passage, dividing it up into different units of thought. Lately, just kind of a verse at a time, although last week we did take three verses as our text. And this evening we come to verse number 18 of Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 18. And so let's begin at verse number 12 and read right down to verse 18. Colossians 3 and verse 12. This is the word of God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Amen. We began our series on Colossians 3 several months ago. It was around the first part of the year, maybe in February or so. And I think it is striking that we come to this first instruction on the Christian home, the instruction for wives on Mother's Day. Really, with nothing contrived at all about that. It's just the Lord's providence for us that we come to this text on this evening. As we've noted, Colossians 3 is about Christ-centered change. It's about the way that we live out our union with Jesus Christ. In the first couple verses, there are four different phrases about our union with Christ. That we were raised with Christ, that we died with Christ, that our lives are hid with Christ in God, and that one day when He appears, we will appear with Him in glory. And so four different times we're told that our lives are completely bound up with Christ. That being the case, we ought to have completely different affections and desires and mindset and goals. And so he begins on that level, telling us to seek those things which are above, to set our affection on things above where Christ sitteth. And we talked about spiritual mindedness back when we were in those verses. And then it begins to play out in a change of life, which he likens to putting off and putting on new garments. You put off these old, filthy, ill-fitting garments, things like anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and lying. And then you put on these new garments, the garments of the new man, the wardrobe of the new man, things like merciful compassions and gentleness and lowliness of mind and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing and forgiving and love. And I've emphasized all through that the primary application of all of those changed attitudes and behaviors and responses to other people, the primary application is within the church. He talks about one another four different times, which is the apostles' way of talking about church life. And he talks about the unity of the body two different times. He references activities of corporate worship, like singing together and teaching and admonishing one another. And so the primary focus is how those changes work out in our church life. And so that's why last week when we took those three verses all in one evening, we talked about six priorities of sanctified church life. Well, there's an obvious shift when you come to verse 18, isn't there? And we're not now talking about the outworking of union with Christ in our church life. We're talking about the outworking of union with Christ in our homes. And so you see that beginning with verse 18 and all the way down through 4:1, there he is going to be the addressing of three relationships and six different people within those three relationships. There's the husband-wife relationship in verses 18 and 19. There's the children-parent relationship, parent-children relationship in 20 and 21. And then there's the servant-master relationship, or we might say worker-supervisor, employee-employer relationship from verse 22 all the way down through 4:1. Wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, masters. The six different people that he is going to address. And these six relationships are in the exact same order as the parallel epistle in Ephesians 5 and 6. In Ephesians 5, those changed relationships all flow out of his command to be filled with the Spirit. So be filled with the Spirit, and then he has the applications of that, which are to all these relationships. Here in Colossians, those change relationships flow from verse 17. Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what does that look like in our homes? How do we honor the Lord Jesus with our words, with our deeds, in our homes? That's what this section is going to be about. And so I envision us talking, we'll talk this evening about Christ honoring wives. Next Sunday evening, Christ honoring husbands. Then Christ honoring children. Christ honoring fathers. Christ honoring servants or workers. Christ honoring masters. And so this evening we come to verse 18. We'll just take verse 18 all by itself and talk about Christ honoring wives. Now this instruction is for all of us. There's probably, 70% of us in the room that are not wives. And yet the instruction is for all of us. Think about it. Think how, first of all, how important instruction on being a Christ-honoring wife is for a young lady who is yet to be married. And how critical it is to be instructed with the counsel of God beforehand, if for no other reason than to be warned about the kind of man that you yoke yourself with and that you will be called to submit to for the rest of your life. And so it's vitally important for our young ladies and for our young men, as they seek to become men that can so order their lives with self-control and discipline that they can actually bring another human being into their home and be their provider and their protector, and to love that bride. And so, knowing what is expected of the wife in her submission to her husband ought to raise the level for all young men. This, I have to be the kind of young man that a Christian father can actually be okay with giving his daughter to submit to for the rest of her life. It's a high calling. And you think about how men, how us husbands and fathers need to have this instruction. We're the leaders of our home. We set the trajectory for our homes. And so therefore, it's very important for us to know God's counsel regarding every person within our home and the role that they are to play and how they are to be arranged in a Christ-honoring way. And then you think of an older generation of people in our church. And even you need to know this instruction, because remember how Titus 2 gives you the responsibility of teaching the younger women how to love their husbands and love their children and to submit to their husbands, and uses the exact same word. And really, the way that this dynamics is supposed to work, and we talked about this in just a few months ago when we were in Titus 2, that the way this dynamic is supposed to work is I, as your minister, am given the responsibility of teaching the principles from God's word to the congregation at large, but it is the older women that are given the responsibility of actually counseling and coaching and mentoring the practical outworking of those principles in the lives of the younger ladies within the church. And so you as well, even our widows, need to have instruction from verse number 18. And so just because our theme is Christ-honoring wives does not mean that 70% of us can check out and this is irrelevant to us. Our entire church family needs this instruction. And so you see, there's not much that he has to say to the wives. And this is going to be typical for all of these instructions. He really boils down very complicated things to very simple statements. And his statement is, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. The Holy Spirit assigns just one duty to wives if they are to honor the Lord Jesus in word or in deed in their homes. And that one duty is to submit unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So let's begin by talking about submission in general here. And this is something that, again, we all need to understand. Because it is not just wives that are called on to submit, right? It's not just wives. We sometimes get the impression, because of the emphasis in the New Testament on this, in the role of wives, husbands and wives, that this is somehow, you know, geared only toward them. But if you stop and think about it, there are seven different relationships in which we are called to submit. And wife to husband is only one of the seven. You probably fall into multiple categories here of these other six relationships where you are called to submit in a relationship. Right here in our passage, in verse number 20, children are told to submit to their parents. Obey your parents. And so there's a submission in that. Children submit to their parents. And in verse number 22, you see that servants are to obey their masters according to flesh in all things. And so there's a submission in our workplaces to our supervisors, our bosses, our employers at work, and we're called to submit in that relationship. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11 says that in church life that women are to learn in silence with all subjection. So there is a general submission of women to men in the local church. We know from 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And so we ought to have a submissiveness to those that are older than us within the assembly as well. And so there's an older generation that the younger generation ought to submit to in that relationship. Romans 13 tells us that we are to submit ourselves to higher powers. We submit to civil authorities. And then Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 calls on the church to submit to their spiritual leadership, to the elders of the church. obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. So there are seven relationships that the New Testament tells us we must be in submission to someone if we are in these relationships. And all of us are in several of these relationships. And so let's just begin talking about, just in general, what does it mean to submit? What is this concept in the New Testament? And we can apply this to any of the seven relationships, whether it be wives to husbands, or children to parents, or servants to masters, or women to men in the local church, or younger people to older people in the life of the church, or subjects to civil magistrates, or believers to their spiritual leadership. What does it mean to submit? What exactly is God calling for when he asks us to submit? I have three ways of explaining this, and hopefully one of them will work. Right, three ways of explaining submission. The first way of explaining it is just to look at what the actual parts of the word mean. So if you want a fancy word for it, let's look at it etymologically. Let's look at the parts of the word. The word submit that's used in all of these cases, it's the same New Testament word, and it's the word, and the root of the word has to do with arranging something. Putting it in its proper place, arranging things, the way that you might arrange flowers or something, right? An arrangement. And then on the front of the word is a preposition which means under. And so the word submission simply means to arrange under, to place something in its proper place, to put it in its right rank in a hierarchy. It's like setting up the pieces of a chess set when you're going to play chess. There's a certain way you have to do that, right? You place the king. What is the king goes five squares over from the corner, right? And then to his left goes his queen. And then on either side of the king and queen, there's the bishops. The king's bishop goes to his right, and the queen's bishop goes to her left. And then you have the knights, and then you have the rooks, and then you have that whole row of pawns out in front. And all the pieces have their proper place. And when you set up a game of chess, you have to rank them and put them in their place. You arrange them. And everything gets arranged around the placement of that king. There's a certain place where he goes, and everything else gets arranged around it. That's how your family ought to look. Everything arranged under in its proper place. Submission. Let's think about the word grammatically next. There's another way of thinking about this that I found, as I thought about this week, was really helpful to me. Now, here's where we're going to do a little wordsmithing, all right? And this is going to sound really technical at first, but I really think there's going to be a payoff in a couple minutes if you'll stick with this. I really think there's going to be a payoff here, all right? So, look at verse 18 again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That word, yourselves. That word yourselves is not in the Greek text. There's no word in Greek that corresponds to that word in this verse. Rather, the words submit yourselves. You need two English words to translate the word for submit. You can't just go wives submit. That doesn't work. It doesn't get the whole idea across. It's wives submit yourselves. And what the yourselves is reflecting is the voice of the verb. Verbs have voice. A verb can be active. And so the subject can be doing the action. Or a verb can be passive, so the subject receives the action. Or a word can be right in the middle of being active active or passive, and you have a middle voice. It's like this. You can say, I hit the ball, and that would be active. I am doing something. You could say, I got hit by the ball, which is an unfortunate experience when you're up to bat, right? I got hit by the ball. And of course, that would be then passive. Or you can hit yourself with the bat when you try to hit the ball. And that's a very odd experience, I know, but it happens, right? And that would be middle. That would be you're doing something to yourself. So you hit yourself with the bat while you go for the ball. This is a middle verb. So think about it. The verb means to arrange, under. Does it mean that you are doing the arranging of someone else? No. Does it mean that you are being arranged by someone else? No, that's not the idea either. What's the idea? You're arranging yourself. Which means, in order for it to be submission, it has to be voluntary. If you have to be coaxed into it, reminded of it, cajoled, motivated, then you're not submitting. It's submit yourself. Submit yourself. It's a matter of being yielded. It's a matter of taking the subordinate position voluntarily. That's the idea. Submit yourself. All right, sometimes it's really easy to have a picture. That helps us. We need a picture. So let me give you the best picture of submission there ever was. The best picture of submission there ever was. Think of a 12-year-old boy. He is incarnate God. He must be about his father's business. But his parents don't understand all that that means. And the scripture says that he did the exact thing that this text says that wives are to do to their husbands. Uses the same word and the same voice. He subjected himself to them. Luke 2:51. It's the best picture you can find in all the Word of God. Christ subjecting himself, arranging himself under the authority of his parents. Listen, you may assess yourself to be superior to your authority in any of those seven relationships. You may assess yourself to be superior to them. You may very well be more capable to them than them in a lot of ways. But who is superior? Who is more gifted? Who is more capable? Who is more godly? That isn't the issue, is it? It's not. Jesus was incarnate God, but he arranged himself under flawed parents that he himself had created. You are called to accept God's designed order for each of your relationships simply because God says. So we've thought about what submission is then under those three ways of thinking about it. Okay, so the word means to arrange under. It carries with it, inherent in the word, the idea of voluntariness. You submit yourself. And the best picture we have is of godly submission in the Lord Jesus Christ's life as a 12-year-old boy. And all of that has wider application than just to wives. It has an application to each of us. Each of us are called to submit in some area of our life. So children, are you arranged under the authority of mom and dad? Have you done that yourself? Like you are yielded to them? Employees, workers, are you in subjection, yielded to your supervisor at work? Are you arranging yourself under your employer's authority? We're going to talk about the outworking of those issues in future weeks as we work our way down through this section, but you see how the application is wider than just to wives. Yet tonight is addressed to wives. Verse 18 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." And so let's zero in now on that relationship in particular. It is interesting, and I know you know this, but let's just review it for the emphasis of it, that every time the New Testament addresses the roles of husband and wife, every time it uses this word. Submit. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read in verse 22 and 24, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." In Titus chapter 2, when the older women are told to teach the younger women, it says, "Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their wives, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands." That word obedience is the same word as submit here, to arrange under, "that the word of God be not blasphemed." And then what we read in our scripture reading from 1 Peter 3:1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." And what's so striking about the 1 Peter reference is that you remember exactly the kind of husband he's telling the wife to be subject to. It's those that obey not the word. It's those that are lost or wayward. Even they are told to be in submission to their own husbands. And so this is the emphasis of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, that wives submit themselves. They arrange themselves under the authority and headship of their husbands. And so let's think together then about three qualities of Christ-honoring submission of wives. Okay, three qualities of this. The first is something we already talked about. We'll just apply it particularly to wives. It must be voluntary. It must be voluntary. If someone else has to remind you to submit or make you submit, you're not submitting. You know that's the case with your children. If you have to make them submit, then they're not being submissive. Even if they submit after you have made them submit, it's not submission, right? It's not really submission. We know that. Your calling then as a wife, if you're going to honor the Lord Jesus in word or deed in your home, is to submit yourself, to arrange yourself under your husband's authority without being forced or badgered or cajoled or coaxed, to submit yourself voluntarily. And of course, as we've talked about before, the real test of submission is going to be when you disagree with him. That's going to be the real test of submission. A lot of people assume that they are in submission to authority, but really they're just in agreement with their authority. And they see themselves as more or less submissive people. There's just sometimes that they're not submissive, but that's not actually submission. If you're only submissive, you know, 80% of the time, but the 20% of the time you disagree, you're not submissive, that's not submission. That's just agreement. We're not talking about agreement. We're not talking about getting along with someone with whom you have an 85% agreement. We're talking about submission, voluntary submission. Submitting means adjusting yourself even when you wouldn't have done it that way, even when you wouldn't have made the decision just that way, even when you don't understand the reason. How are you arranging yourself, adjusting yourself under your husband's authority? It must be voluntary. Submit yourself. And let me say this as well. A second quality of Christ-honoring submission is that it must be unconditional. The next time we're in Colossians 3, I assume next Lord's Day evening, we'll be in verse 19, where we're told, "Husbands, love your wives." And of course, what we're going to say, right, is that husbands only need to love their wives when their wives have earned that from them, right? Only when they're lovable are they supposed to love their wives. But if they're not lovable, if they've lost the respect of the husband, then he doesn't have to love them anymore. Is that what we're going to say? That's not what we're going to say, is it? We're going to say that the love that a husband gives to his wife is unconditional. It is not something that is earned. It is not something that can be lost. It is regardless of her character or lovability. It is constant. And anything less is less than the biblical standard. The same thing is true in verse 18. Our culture has this idea that love is to be unconditional, but respect has to be earned. And I do not see that as the biblical standard here. Do you think that Jesus submitted himself to his parents because they had earned his respect? Don't you think he saw all the flaws of his parents, marked them, and that he was grieved with those flaws more than we have ever been grieved at anybody else's flaws because he was perfect? And yet he subjected himself to his parents, not because they had earned his respect, but because it was what his father wanted him to do. He must be about his father's business, and his father's business for 12-year-old boys is to arrange yourself under the authority of your parents. That's his father's business for 12-year-old boys. So, every wife here is married to a seriously flawed husband. He has been insensitive. He has made financial blunders. He's lost his temper. He's had a difficult time apologizing to you. He's made large purchases or big decisions without consulting you first. Is there ever a time when you are allowed to live unsubmitted to your husband because he has lost your respect? There's not. He, with all his flaws, is still your husband, and you are called to submit. Now, of course, in a fallen world, there are situations where a wife could be threatened by her husband, and we would never expect as a church for a wife to remain in a situation with her children where she is exposed to danger or physically threatened. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the way that wives tend to excuse their less than enthusiastic submission, and in some cases even separate from their husbands with examples of his folly or his lack of integrity or his sin. And they say, "My husband has just lost my respect. I can't submit to him anymore." I'm sorry, but that is not allowed. It's not allowed. It's not any more allowed than a husband saying about his wife, "I just can't love her anymore." We're talking about unconditional submission. He, with all his flaws, is still your husband, and you are called to submit. And if you expect the reverse to be true, that you, with all your flaws, are still his wife, and you expect him to love you anyway, then this is what Christ calls us to. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. It is voluntary and it is unconditional. Then the Holy Spirit supplies to you one great consideration in this, to motivate your submission to your husband. He says, "It is fit in the Lord." It is fitting. It is appropriate. It is according to a pattern. Accepting your God-ordained role in the home and ranking yourself under your husband is the only appropriate thing for a child of God to do. You're yielded to the Lord. You're in subjection to the Lord. Well, there's a parallel between yielding to the Lord and yielding to the human authority that the Lord has given you in this life. That's exactly what we tell our children, isn't it? That's what we tell them in the home and in school. We tell them, you submit to that authority because God gave you that authority, and by submitting to that teacher, you're submitting to God. By submitting to your parents, you are expressing your yieldedness to the Lord. There is a parallel between submission to human authority and subjection to the Lord. We say that to our children. The same is true in our marriages. There's a pattern between a wife's submission to her husband and her submission to the Lord. To fail to yield submission is to disobey the Lord. So you see that wives are not called to submit because they're intrinsically inferior. It's not because they have some kind of lesser spiritual standing. Of course not. Both the husband and the wife are clothed with the righteousness of Christ and washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're heirs together of the grace of God. But so the submission is not based on weakness or on a lack of spiritual standing or on inferiority. It's simply because of the God-ordained role that has been given, that the husband is the head of the wife. And wives, you are to yield yourselves to your husbands, because in doing so, you are yielding to the Lord who gave you that husband. It's the same thing we tell our children in their submission to authority. Your submission to him is submission to God. Your resistance to him is resistance to God. Rank yourself under your husbands as it is appropriate in the Lord. This is exactly what Paul said in Ephesians. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." And so, there is a pattern to this submission. It is fitting, appropriate, according to a pattern, the pattern of your relationship to the Lord. Now, I want to address our young ladies for a minute. You need to remember this before you marry a man. And if you don't remember anything else, it ought to be very obvious that marriage is no light matter. When you stand at the altar and you make those vows, you are literally yielding your whole life unto Him. And from that point on, for good or for ill, your life will be His decision. That is the nature of marriage. And if you think, I don't think it has to be that way, I think it can be 50-50, I think in the modern era we can do that differently, okay, well, you're going to set yourself up for a dogfight for your entire life. That's what will happen. Because you will be attempting to order your home in a way that is not in subjection to Christ. And it will be nothing but misery and disappointment. So when you find a man who so walks with the Lord that you can entrust yourself to him to do that, to arrange yourself under him for the rest of your life, then you might have found the right man to marry. But it is an exceedingly heavy matter. It's no light thing. The very best approach is to take the Word of God as your guide and to look very seriously about what you're going to have to do if you marry a man. And young ladies, don't even think twice about a guy that you know you couldn't live with that way, that you could not yield to in that way. You know, parents, this is just one reason why we want to really discourage light, casual, romantic relationships in our young people. Because, and why we want to be so careful that at the first instance, the first time there's the slightest display of any romantic interest in our daughters, that we be sure that is the kind of guy your daughter could marry, could submit to. Or don't even let them begin that kind of relationship. Be very, very careful. And in our day, it means just keeping a real close eye on that phone. Because the minute you give a phone to a young person, you give them the potential of forming all kinds of relationships which leave you on the sideline and in absolute ignorance. And those kind of relationships can develop and grow, and you can be left completely in the dark about them. So be careful. Protect your daughters from developing relationships with young men to whom they could never yield the kind of complete and unreserved submission that's required by Christian wives. Protect them from that. And married ladies, think about all of the conceivable ways that you could honor Christ in your home. We could list a myriad of ways of honoring Christ in the home. How many ways would there be to demonstrate that you are in union with Jesus Christ? To demonstrate that, according to verse 12, you are elect of God and holy and beloved. Think of all the ways to live consistent with those qualities. We could probably come up with a myriad of ways to honor Christ in the home. Well, God gives just one. Just one. Submit yourself unto his authority by submitting yourself unto your husband's authority. Arrange yourself under him. Do it voluntarily. Do it unreservedly. Do it unconditionally, not dependent on his wisdom or his godliness, and do it because it is according to the pattern of your subjection unto Christ. May God strengthen our marriages and protect our marriages and protect our homes so that they will be places where Christ is honored in word Or indeed, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we commit this to you now and pray for grace to live out what your word has counseled us with. We pray that you would make us all submissive in the various spheres of relationships you've given to us. We pray that you would give us the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. We pray especially for the ladies within our church family who are married to lost or wayward husbands, that you would give them an extra measure of grace to submit themselves in those delicate situations and bless them. And we pray that you would bless their quiet influence in their homes for good and for the salvation and restoration of their husbands. And bless our young people. Give them wisdom in their choice of spouse and all of their relationships. We pray that whatever we do in word or in deed, we would do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praying in his name. Amen.